B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
Chargers have taken nearly 6 minutes off the clock, and now they're going to dispatch the field goal unit.
Wow.
So swing of the right leg. Novak's kick sailing to the uprights, and that kick is no good.
Stupid again.
Didn't have much height.
Both players on the field, defense. 5-yard penalty, and the result of the penalty, first half.
First-year head coach Anthony Lynn, irate. Brady's done it again.
He knew it, too.
2 yards deep, runs it to the 10. Hit by Matthew Slater, shy on the 15. Yeah. A poor decision to come out. River stands in, throws it near side. Caught by Benjamin, runs to the 35. Flag down as he streaks past the 20. 15, 10, 5 into the end zone with an apparent touchdown for the Chargers. But a penalty marker and an upset. Pick. Unusual emotional film reverse.
Number 16, offense, 10-yard penalty. Still third down.
Falls for the fair catch up ahead of the 15-yard line. Near side of the 17.
Yep.
Late flags.
Stupid.
On the play, you had the
just dumb
Charger Rayshon Jenkins.
You're one of the vice guys, and you go and you just clip Slater right in the back after he catches it.
Amendola and Cooks to the right, Gronkowski and Dorsett to the left. Early movement by Bosa from the left side of the defensive line. He jumped.
He blew it right there. Man, that sets you up at third and one now.
At third and inches.
Jeez.
Allen angles the punt right to left toward the sideline. Drop by Benjamin.
Got him.
Returns it back toward the end zone. He's spotted up inside the goal line.
It's caught under
by the Patriots.
Safety.
You got two officials converging.
Call it. Yeah.
I'm stupid or something.
Oh, stupid is what stupid does.
Honestly, as stupid as a stupid does.
October 2017. Why the Chargers were stupid when they came to Foxborough, like most teams that come to Foxborough.
Jim said that was one of the longest ones from last year.
The six-minute drive.
One of the longest ones ever. It's a minute 45 that took.
It's one of the dumbest performances we've seen in the history of why they were stupid.
I played my kid mad last night. I took the Chargers, and he took the Patriots, and I beat him in overtime on a field goal, 13-10. And it was the same type of game, and I actually tackled Philip Rivers in the end zone for a safety. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's just like last year's game. You get reminded of some of the dumb things that they did. Like, they had the Patriots in third and long, third and six, third and seven. 12 men on the field. Then they jump off sides. Now, all of a sudden, it's third and two and third and one. They convert drives.
Well, how about just
going for the kick
there? You know, we talked about last week's game, how it got tight at the end, right?
They took their foot off the gas. Yeah.
And just look at
conservative offensively. Jim was all over it the whole damn game.
Look at some of the things that happened in that game. I mean, their final drive, they get a penalty. They get an offensive holding call. Stupid. And on the broadcast, I recall them even saying, like, oh, that didn't. The guy, he was gone. Right? That was on that third and six play.
Yeah.
Where Melvin Gordon was past where the hold was taking place. The hold, I don't think really impacted the play, but it was so blatant and so obvious. Russell Okung on the hold, he has a penalty there
now
that backs them up. And then on top of that, they're third and six, and they're throwing the football. They're throwing the football on third and six. And so that's a little dangerous in and of itself.
That ball pops up. Then all of a sudden, are they going for two to win it? That's the state you're in right there. You had control of that game. That game was an ass-kicking. You kicked Baltimore's ass, and it almost flipped at the end.
I should correct myself. It was the following play, the third and 16 after the penalty they threw.
Yeah, and they were backed up too, and they were chucking a ball inside their own 10 coming out.
And it's not so much about the danger of the turnover for me there. It's
where things happen.
You're going to waste your opportunity to waste time on this clock.
So not chewing clock. Right?
Better make sure that you complete the pass. But you're right. Turnovers could happen as well.
People are freaking out too about the Russell Okung holding call. Now, technically, when you go back and you look at that play, it's not holding, but you got to understand that guy on the edge is seeing Okung, and what's he do? He turns his whole big 6'7" body and reaches that right hand out. Guess what? That yellow flag's coming out 10 out of 10 times. I do not blame that ref for calling holding there. Even though he's away from it, it was the wrong call. But in real time and real speed, and that guy's that big, and it looks like he got beat, and he's diving back inside, that's a hold to me. That's a good call. But that's dumb by them. Those are the things that could kill them in this type of the game if the Patriots play a clean game. And that's a big if. Because there's been times where this Patriots team has been really, really sloppy and they can't get out of their own way. Doing dumb things. Drop balls. Offsides. False starts. How many times we see that?
Could you see it happen again this week?
Not in this day, because Bill's preaching it, man. He is pounding it
in. No, I'm talking about from the Chargers? The Chargers perspective.
Yeah, to what Bert said, too. Bert's banking on them being tired and sloppy. Yeah. Yeah, it could. And that's where you got to take advantage of it. And that's where I think, the special teams, that was a kick highlight there. You could get a field goal or two on this team that maybe where you're going to find 6 points that weren't there or field position where they're tired and somebody's sloppy and they're playing both ways. So, yeah, I could definitely see something like that happening.
I could see them making some mistakes, whether it be through penalties or some of their decision making. We saw some of that in Baltimore. They should have blown Baltimore out, and they didn't. They were going for field goals at time. It was never more obvious than it was right before halftime.
Right.
Playing for a field goal. So I think we could see some of those decision making type of things come into play like they typically do at this time of year.
Yep. And especially speaking of this time of year, if you're heading to Patriot Place this weekend, maybe you'll do a little pre-gaming, a little post-gaming at Davio's.
Yes.
What do you hear pushing there, Mr. Steve DeFilippo?
Well, we have our chicken sausage now at Stop and Shop. Awaken 180 improved. You're looking pretty good. Right. Maybe there. You've been eating a little too much sausage, I think.
I was killing myself from Thanksgiving on, right up through the holidays and all the holiday parties. I was talking about this with you outside. Yeah, the amount that you eat, what you drink, the finger food, and I've been back on it now for about 10 days. I'm down about 10 pounds.
10 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, right. In about a week. Right. So it helps.
It's good to get
back here and zap yourself.
It's all about nutrition, You just got to do the right thing. There's a few things you got to cut out, but it's really not hard at all.
Now, you're turning in, we got kids, and if you've ever seen Ratatouille, there's Gustav's, and he's selling what was he selling? The finger rolls and
spring
all that.
Rolls.
Spring rolls.
Yeah.
Well, you got sausages now that are in the stores.
Stop
right?
and Shop. Yeah. Well, what's great is we developed this amazing chicken sausage that is Awaken 180 approved.
Right.
So it's a really healthy sausage, which is really unheard of. Most sausage usually has a lot of sodium, has a lot of fat in it. Ours is a really healthy sausage. You'll love it.
You've done a lot with Paige as far as designing a specific menu. And when you walk in any of your restaurants, no matter where they are, right? Whether you're down in Atlanta. What's the furthest one now? Atlanta?
Actually, California. We're out in Irvine. Oh, wow. Yeah. We're about a half hour from where the Chargers play in that funny stadium.
Well, give them the bad stuff.
Yeah.
fatty stuff.
Actually, I went to a game at that stadium. And
in the
I've been to high school stadiums.
The soccer field?
Yeah, I went to the soccer stadium. It's a tiny. It's like one level. It's a little tiny little stadium.
Would you classify that as good or bad for the league if the AFC title?
I think it's embarrassing. I can't believe that the NFL would allow them to play there. I don't understand how that even happened. It's just crazy.
It's a great question.
By the way, and there's no fans. When I was there, it was New Orleans was playing them. It was a preseason game, and everybody there was for New Orleans. It was hardly any Charger fans.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're good. They have no fans.
They have no fans. Yeah.
If they were to win the Super Bowl, they could not have a parade.
Where would they have it?
San Diego. Well, they should go back to San Diego and
they're hated there. You cannot.
Yeah, but those fans haven't stopped.
It's hard to hate
fans.
A team that leaves.
Yeah.
I think it's funny how Oakland might play there next year. That would be really cool.
That'd be awesome.
They need a place to go. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for stopping
in. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So what time do you open up on Sunday?
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
It's the line will start probably around 9. We're so excited. And hopefully Indy will win. We need Indy to win this
weekend. Does anyone sit on the patio on these days? Do you let them?
No.
It's just
too cold.
I know
cold,
that. I mean, the patio was open pretty late into the fall.
Yeah. It's just too cold.
Yeah. So you're rooting for Indy to get another home game next week.
Yeah, we'd love to get that game
next
week.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah,
yes,
it would be fun.
All right.
Yeah. All right, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you. Davio's, appreciate it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
43-yard field goal from the right hash mark, Cardona. Ready to snap it to Allen, has it in place. The kick driven to the uprights, and Gostkowski's kick is no good.
That's just the nature of kicking. A lot of ups and downs. You just got to try to maintain a positive attitude and keep your poise.
Cardona over the football, snaps it to Allen. Gostkowski kicks it. The kick is airborne to the uprights, and Gostkowski's kick is no good. He has missed left from 43, and he's pushed right from 43.
I get ticked off. I get mad just like anybody else, but I don't look at it as like a Debbie Downer. It's just part of the game. It stinks. I get mad. I mean, it's going to bother me for a week, probably 2 weeks, but that's just part of the game. If you can't deal with it, then, you probably shouldn't be here.
Here's a juicy one. Do you call Chris Ballard about Adam Vinatieri?
So in Indianapolis, about swinging a trade at the deadline for Tuesday. I mean, I would love it. It'd be a great story, but I don't think they want to mess with Goskowski. I mean, that's an element too, right, Charlie? You bring someone in just on a tryout, does that mess up with the guy you've already got?
Well, let me tell you something. There's two types of kickers. There's kickers like Adam Vinatieri that are football players.
Yeah.
And then there's kickers that are kickers. And they are the screwiest people of all time. I mean, their minds think totally different than everyone else does.
That was only last season. It seems like forever ago when you had Charlie Weiss, Michael Felger, all doing postgame.
Talk about a midseason Vinatieri acquisition.
How about that take from
Bert? You
pick
up the phone, like, where's this team heading?
Hey, now, Goskowski missed two field goals in that game against San Diego. San Diego Chargers of L.A.
But the perception of the team and everything, the way that team was trending.
Do you
at that
call
time.
The Colts and ask for a trade? Do you call the Colts and try and trade for Vinatieri?
So, Jim.
That happened.
That game was before. That was the game before Halloween, correct? San Diego game?
Yes.
Yeah, October 29th. 2 days before the trade deadline.
It's amazing what that week in sports here was.
That was a weird day.
It was.
How about Gronk after that game? Do you remember Gronk going to the podium after the game?
What do you think you didn't do well today?
I mean, I just got to go out there and just be on top of my game the whole time. I mean, some plays there and there, I do good. And then others, I just feel like I don't got, like, have it for that one. So just got to play all four quarters, every play to the max.
I will have you know that Rob Gronkowski scored a touchdown in that game.
That happened that game too? Like, what the hell was said after that? Like, how do we forget everything that happened right after that game?
The Patriots won. They moved to 6-2 with that win. The kicker shanks a couple of kicks. Gronk is talking about he needs to be himself and play all four quarters. He scored a touchdown that day.
Philip Rivers, you want Philip Rivers after the game?
Yeah, give me Philip Rivers.
I think we can be encouraged in this game. I don't think this is the best Patriots team they've had in the last decade. I don't think they would say that this is the best team they've been in a decade.
The season's halfway done. How do you classify your season? But it goes to show you the way they viewed New England. Yeah, that's not a good one. That's not a good one we played against. The team ends up going to Super Bowl. And later that year, when Tom versus Time was released during the playoffs, you remember the, and he's sitting there with Alex, and yeah, we got to get, you know, started bad, but then we got San Diego, and then next week, and then we get the Denver Broncos, and then we get to 6-7-2, and get the Raiders in Mexico, get to 8-2 at the bye, you know, all that stuff. Like, he's counting the games, but Brady says I never look ahead. It was just, everything was weird, man. It was a weird year.
Coach, the game was played predominantly in the teens. Is that a game, a style that you're comfortable playing?
What are you talking about?
Well, not scoring a lot of points, not high-flying offense necessarily, more low-scoring, grind it out. Is that a style you like, that the team prefers?
Well, we prefer to win.
Also happened that day. That was Mark Dondero from the television station in Providence. I forget which one it is.
He's got a little Phil Perry in his voice. You know it's now, yes, Phil based on the question, quirky. But voice-wise.
A little quirky inflection.
Yeah. Yep. A little want to play a little air bass while I ask you the question?
Phil will be in here Friday.
How differently things seemed then. Mm. Just what? What was wrong with us?
Mm.
They'd won 4 in a row at that point.
4 in a row.
They had beaten Tampa Bay on the road on that Thursday nighter.
Road win.
That's right. Gronkowski was a scratch in that game. He was supposed to play, and he didn't play.
They went to New York and won. They came home and beat Atlanta soundly. And then they beat the Chargers. And that was before the bye week.
Yeah, got Atlanta. They got the Chargers.
Seems like a lot was going on. And, oh, by the way,
was it Halloween?
2 days after that game was played, they traded Jimmy Garoppolo that week. That was the last time these two teams met. And by only scoring 21 points, there was a question as to whether or not the team was comfortable playing a game like that. They went out and scored 41 the following week at Denver. They scored 33 in Mexico City against Oakland 2 games later.
Yeah. Started to get hot.
Chargers are 19-6 since that point.
19-6 since they met in October of 2017.
Are the Patriots the same? About that, right? You lost 5 this year. You lost the Super Bowl. It pretty much got hot after
And you
that.
Lost one game in Miami after
Oh, that. Yeah. Yeah. The Patriots are what, 20-7? They're about the same. A lot of things. You look at the matchups here.
Very similar.
20-7, yeah.
20-7. 19-6, 20-7.
People are like toting up their rock. Yeah, 19-6, man. Yeah, 20-7.
Well, it's expected. I mean, it's expected for the Patriots is what it comes down to. It's not expected for the Chargers. But bit of a wild game there. Bit of a wild day.
Bit of a wild week.
Weird week.
Halloween.
617-779-0985. Brian's in Boston. Brian.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, how are you guys? What do you guys think the strength for the Patriots to beat the Chargers this weekend?
Experience? Is that what he's talking about?
What do they need to do?
What's it going to... I mean... Well, I really think it's as simple as this, and I do think this is the advantage. It's not about running the ball, throw the ball, protect Brady, keep Brady up, don't let him get hit, you know, don't let them have big plays at 20 yards or more. If you win the special teams game, and that's saying, well, yeah, but you pay all these guys the core money, the Slaters, the Ebners, you know, your long snapper, your kickers, you're paying them high
you
money.
But you could win the special teams game and lose this game 33-17.
Maybe. Maybe, but I think that could get you going early. Like, say Patterson rips off a 45-yard return, sets you up in midfield. Say the Chargers win the opening coin toss. Guess what? We're going to defer. We defer. Okay, it's kicked to New England. Boom, kick it to Patterson. He gets it out to the 50. That place is going nuts. Put your offense out there on the field to 50. That gets you going. That's where I'm saying make up 40 yards or find a way to get a 3-point advantage on special teams.
I would
say, and then play a safe game.
Yeah,
don't turn it over.
I don't know. I would say it's all.
I mean,
about...
It sounds cliched and corny. Don't turn the ball over. Run the ball.
Oh no. I don't have anything more.
They're going to do what they got to do.
I don't have anything more brilliant than that. But I think it comes down to protecting Brady and don't let him get upset by when they send four guys and allow him just that tiny little bit of extra time that he may need to find that right receiver, because you can start on your own 40 and start on a short field. Hell, start in midfield, but if you're forced into three and outs because they're getting pressure and sending three or four and he's not able to do Tom Brady type things, then that's your ball game right there, because I don't think the defense is good enough to keep this team held to less than 20-23 points. So you got to protect Brady to the point where they can just score, I would say, in the upper 20s to win this game. That's what I would say.
I think you asked the other day, what's the mark? What's the point defensively? What do you got to hold them to? What do you got to hold the Chargers to? You hold the Chargers
23.
And I said somewhere between 20 and 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 23, 22. You should win that. You should win that at home.
Yep.
You can't score more than 22 Brady points at home. Then you don't deserve to advance. You don't. So, with a week of rest.
They can do it.
Score more.
They can. 21. 21 points.
I don't care if you got to hand Cordarrelle Patterson the ball. Find a way to get it done. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not style points at this point. It's not.
Oh, God, no. Style points. Don't care about those right now.
Yes.
Not even a little bit.
Crocodile Dundee ask about that stuff. You know? Down in Providence.
You know, that was only a season ago, yet it seems so long ago in a lot of different ways.
It really does.
Right? How about the fact that we were still doing the scene setter with all four of us? All four of us pregame.
This is one of the weirdest things, because I used to do it at the same time with Bob, because Bob be upstairs, I'd be downstairs. I don't see Bob. I don't see you. I don't
four
see
four people in two different players.
Give it to us.
Two different places, that is.
Give us the train wreck.
Let's bring in Bob Soucy and I believe Scott Zolak from inside Gillette Stadium. Hello, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Hey, Mark. Hi, Chris.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
CBS,
how are you
scene?
Guys?
How's the scene?
It's hot and happening, Zoe.
Hot and happening, right?
Hot and happening. A lot of people
what,
in the place.
Good. Much different.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
much
you go
different
ahead.
Feel than last week.
What a train wreck.
I defer to you. No,
what
I defer to you. You go.
Train
you go
wreck
first.
That
no,
was.
I, yeah.
We do it in a much better way now.
CBS scene is no longer.
CBS scene's not even a place.
Oh, my God. We were headquartered in another building.
CBS scene
we
is
work
dead.
For another company.
Our studio is in a different place.
We work for CBS Radio.
We work for a different company now. And, well, even Chris Gasper still had a podcast. It was so long ago.
Well, that thing was hot.
Personal. I know you guys got to go to break. You sound very professional when I listen during the week on the Season Ticket podcast.
Why, thank you, Bob. The check's in the mail.
Yeah. And if Robert Siegel ever retires from all things considered,
knee slapper.
I think Chris Gasper would be a quality candidate.
It definitely has an NPR sound to it. I will
sure
give it that.
Yes.
It's the production on that podcast is excellent. Excellent production. That's all I can say.
Hey, it's terrific. You do a nice job.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, guys.
Carlito.
All right.
Okay.
Carlito, you hear that? Like, you're new. That good radio to you? That sound good?
That had a bit of an
back and forth
NPR feel to it.
That sounds good to you.
Thank you.
Sounds good to the Carlito.
Well, thank you.
I'm grateful for your thanks.
Hey, it's terrific. You do a nice job.
Thank you, Bob.
It's like that Holly podcast.
That's not a thing anymore.
This season ticket is fresh air.
They canceled that.
They canceled Holly's podcast?
No, they canceled. No. Who's talking about Holly's
podcast? That's what I said. These podcasts. They think they're these hip podcasts.
Why don't you listen to a podcast now?
I do.
We have one more clip from In-Game. You want to hear it?
Yes.
To the end zone as he covers up in front of Pete Morelli, the referee, for a touchback.
They got two people on a jumbotron with babies here. What would you bring a baby to a football game for in the rain? Baby going to be sick all week, be wiping its nose.
You hear the guy in the background?
Let's go, Solak!
Let's go!
Come on!
Yeah!
Baby going to be sick all week, be wiping its nose. Then you got to hold the baby the whole time. Who wants to go sit in the stands and hold a baby the whole time?
Where do you change the baby?
Like, I don't know what people think. He's right.
That's what Bob thinks about?
I think does the baby need his own ticket?
8:30 to go. No. Patriots line up with
2-2 to Jeter.
Just right through it. I saw one of those drunk babies flipping a quarter down there. Maybe he has the money on the
game. Talk to him again on Friday. That's right, RJ Bell. I never understood taking a baby to a game.
I don't either. I don't get it.
Like, you got kids and you got car seats in the back. I know you drop them. You can't wait to drop those kids off. Nothing says game day on the NFL like thinking, pack the baby in there, make sure you pack the baby's bag, make sure we got the bottles. Oh, let's sit in traffic for 3 hours as we work our way into the parking lot. Let's take the baby out. Let's strap the baby in. Let's get inside. Let me stay in the beer line where I can only have two cups of beer. No, got to hold the baby with the other hand. Or I got to deal with the baby, so I can only have one cup of beer. There's no benefit of bringing a baby to a game. Like I said, where do you change the baby? Bob said, where do you change the baby? They don't have family guest rooms. Stand in line in the men's room. Oh, put the baby on the floor. It's a little wet down there. It's okay. Wipe it up.
Well, that's a practical question that Bob asked, but my question is, as it was back then, do you got to pay for the baby?
Under two, I believe.
I'd say no, not on your lap, but I bet that rule's changed. Who knows?
Some big two-year-olds out there.
I can't remember. I remember I was talking about this at the time.
I'd put a diaper on Jim.
I shouldn't say that without knowing.
Jim, hold this big bottle. I can find one at Party City. Put this pacifier in your mouth. Get in line with
Jim,
me.
I got to get you into this onesie. You do the snaps underneath, though.
Things I can picture Jim doing. Like, I can picture Jim doing that. Jesus.
No. No free. No free kids. You need a ticket.
That's what I thought.
Ticket for the baby?
I wasn't sure. Yeah.
Baby ticket?
I think Red Sox are the same way.
Oof.
Should be. Nothing worse than going to a game, being packed in, and you got a baby next to you.
Yep. Patriots.
Same thing on a plane. I don't want that crap on a plane. Buy your damn kid a freaking ticket.
Patriots, all guests require a ticket. Revolution, children under two do not require a ticket. I knew there was something about under two. It's for the Revs. Pats, though, you bring someone in, you need a ticket.
You take your baby and kids again, go to Baltimore. You get it for free with them all.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's ominous there. You go there, and there's certain places where it's like, talked to Tyrell Williams earlier this year, going up to Oakland Coliseum. He's like, it's fun. It's a great energy. Like, the crowd's really fun to interact with. Okay, go to Green Bay. Go to Lambeau Field. What happens at Lambeau Field? It just feels like Americana. It feels like a really special place to play. You go to New England, and you drive through. It's 45 minutes outside of Boston, Foxborough, and you drive through this neighborhood essentially on a lake, and then all of a sudden you pop out and there's Foxborough Stadium, and it's like the Death Star. Mm-hmm. It is this ominous place where everything feels very serious and very important, and the pressure just kind of closes in on you as you pull in. So, ain't no maybe indicative a little bit of the record.
I feel like you just described Bill Belichick a little bit.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
yeah, the whole situation, I mean, that's the Boston area where everything is just very serious.
I'm taking Pats right now. I'll put my pick in right now. I'll wait until Friday.
This is a Boston show. Are we a serious show? Sneaky serious midday show?
Taking Pats.
Jesus.
Death Star.
You look like
there it is.
You look like a Jawa.
Oh, no. Nah, that's an Ewok.
That's an Ewok.
So that's Nick Hardwick, former Charger player, has his own show out there. Yeah, we've heard that before. Like Peyton Manning's talked about it.
I know. This is why I said Saturday would have been better for them.
The problem is that it's that they bring you in that back road, which is what, Beach?
Yeah, I think you Beach drive Street? Through. It's 45 minutes outside of Boston, Foxborough. And you drive through this neighborhood essentially on a lake. And then all of a sudden you pop out and there's Foxborough Stadium. And it's like the Death Star.
What a lake?
The Death Star.
Is there a lake near?
You hear a low hum like... You know, like the Death Star when it's moving and turning through space. It has that hum. That nuclear hum. Not like that, but...
Like what then?
Badass.
Take as much time as you need.
It's that sound of space, like when you're watching Star Wars.
What's the sound?
Just that big ship then. No, I'm growling.
No, I
can't hum.
Yeah, you can do it.
No, I can't. I can't
get closer
to
the mic.
I can't emulate it.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't. Stop. F off. All right. So we had some good calls.
There's no birds in the truck.
Really good calls again.
No birds in the truck.
No birds in the truck.
No birds at all.
Yes, it's Jim and the aviary transport vehicle.
If they do go down Beach Street, they can see the lake there.
What lake?
There's
ponds in the back. It's really not a lake. Those are little ponds in the back. But you have to go to Beach Street. It does take you.
Ninkovich
lives in the back there.
The nature trail in Cranberry Bog.
You literally go through neighborhoods.
No, it's like a little pond.
It's a pond
back there.
Oh, Lakeview Pond.
Nice, Jim. Space, the final frontier.
I think you're making that up.
That's
who home. Me.
You,
Jim found.
I'm looking at a map.
Jim's first hum. Jim's first sound effect he's ever known.
It's called Neponset Reservoir. Is what it's called.
Can't fish it, can't swim it, can't boat
zoom
it.
Out, Hardy, whatever you're looking at.
Is it there. Boatable? Can you have a watercraft on it? What do you classify a watercraft? A rowboat? A canoe? Does it have to have a motor? Can you have a bass boat?
Do you know what the difference is between a pond and a lake?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's just whatever you decide to call it.
Do you ever see Golden Pond on Golden Pond?
That I
thing's
have.
Huge. That thing's a lake.
No, I mean, look at the loons.
Happy birthday
to you.
Jerome is in Situate. Jerome.
Chelsea.
Lino, hey, I want to direct this to you if I can.
Okay,
good.
Because you're the working class hero, and we know Zoe's kind of a diva.
yeah, I've never worked hard for anything. Go ahead.
I agree with that.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
The thing is, some of my boys down here in Situate want to know why you guys don't give the offensive line the credit they deserve. They've had a great year.
Yeah.
In stretches, they have.
Like, when have we talked about
the only,
Shaq Mason?
The only time I would question whether or not they played great, Jerome, is the Pittsburgh game. You know, that was a big spot there, and
they blew it there.
They didn't play all that great.
Okay, tell us all. I don't want them talking. Do you realize?
See, you can't make those. You can't make those type of requests.
Jerome, why do you have such an issue with Zoe? I find that odd.
Listen, do you realize the team's number three in protecting the quarterback in the league against sacks?
Yes,
you know that.
They've had a good year. I wouldn't say anything but that they've had a good year. And at times they've been great.
You know what, Zoe? I want to apologize. But Beetle, you're still a working class hero. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Jerome. Appreciate the call.
What's a working class hero, Hardy? Like, what do you...
John Lennon said a working class hero is something to be.
Like, you're driving to work and you got a lunch pail, you're thinking, like, you got that song crack, everybody's working for the weekend. Like, that's a working guy. It's a guy that goes in.
9-to-5er, nickel and dimer.
Yeah.
Toucher says. Ham and egger.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Yeah, like, I just went in there to cut a spot. So my man, John Riley, I'm like, when are you leaving? He's like, 5. I'm like, yeah, I'm out of here, too.
Lunch pail. Yeah.
It's not like I'm not working class.
No. That Neponset Reservoir,
yeah,
they got a couple islands out there. They got a something called Bear Island.
Okay,
they got something called Crescent Island.
They got bears there.
So
that's what I'm wondering.
I've heard there has been some disappearances there. There's this place down in Bridgewater, who sort of has a couple of these ponds. Bridgewater Triangle.
Yeah.
Supposedly, you don't want to go swimming in the Neponset Reservoir or this reservoir.
Why?
Why is that? Go on.
I don't know what's in there. I'm not going down
like
to this
water.
Mothman thing or anything, you know? Just telling you.
You're saying there's something supernatural going on?
I don't think it's swimmable. And I don't think you want to swim in it.
I'll find out.
Stuff is going on there.
So. All right, if we could just jump back to the serious football thought there from Jerome for a moment. This is a pretty important matchup in this game, as it is in every playoff game that Tom Brady has played in. Protection of the quarterback, protection in the middle. We probably feel better about the guards on this team and the interior of the offensive line than maybe we've ever felt before.
The best thing I feel as far as the offensive line is the, I want to say, more steady, consistent play of Joe Tooney from a year ago. Joe Tooney a year ago, you could have a holding call game, a penalty game, a blown assignment, a mixed call, a kid on a quarterback. Now, the kid played a ton, and it was his rookie year. But, you know, I mean, not rookie year, but second-year player. The best thing was, though, he's really improved his play to this point to where Belichick even referred to him. He's maybe our best lineman. And Shaq Mason is sort of an all-pro type guard. Those guys pull very well. Trent Brown pulls very well for his size. They won't hesitate to move linemen. And if they can trap guys like Ingram and Bosa.
Well, Ingram is, to me, the guy that has the opportunity. He might move around.
Well, they'll kick him inside, but moving around, here's what they do in Ingram. It's exactly the same type of stuff for Trey Flowers, where you'll bump him down inside or you'll take him out. They don't run a ton of games.
Bosa and Cannon, how do you feel?
I feel pretty good because Marcus is good at not falling back on his heels, if you know what I mean. Marcus is wide, where he'll take the drop step and step. And speaking of that, we watched some of the Bosa stuff where he goes upfield and he spins underneath and he gets these tackles leaning all the way out. Scar is going to live and sit there with a bat and just beat this into their head about don't bite for the upfield move because he's spinning underneath. Bosa's good at turning back inside and getting back up underneath. Cannon's pretty stout in that area. Where Cannon gets beat is where he worries too much about the inside, and all of a sudden he's reaching around the outside edge. Those are the ones that kill Brady. You know, that front side stuff. See, and that's where Brady's going to worry. If Brady's handling the backside, I trust the backside, and we think that's blocked. Brady should always be able to see stuff front side and step away from that type of pressure. So Bosa's getting to him up the edge. You better be stout in the middle with Andrews and him so he can step up in that pocket. If he can't, it's going to be a long day because anything Tom has stepped into this past month, he's thrown the ball impeccably when he steps into it. Now, he's air-mailed some stuff, no doubt about it, off the back foot. He's belled on some things. But, like, a couple of those outs to Edelman and, Dorsett, the throw to Dorsett, stuff down in Miami where he steps into that skinny post on Cordarrelle Patterson, cash money throws.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Most type 2 diabetic clients stop taking insulin by week number 3. Others reduce or stop high blood pressure and other medications completely. But that, Awaken180WeightLoss.com. Thanks to Steve DiFilippo coming in today. Some new products with Awaken. Check it all out at Davio's. Or go see Paige and her great staff. What do we got today?
He took a shot at you. I was surprised.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, no, we were talking off air. He's like, how much weight you gained this winter? I said, pretty good bit. I said, that Thanksgiving stretch, man. He goes, it's awful.
All right, let's get to the takeaways, including the bird caller today. Bird's in the truck. Mo is in the truck saying travel does not matter for this weekend's
Happy New Year's, guys.
Mo, what's up?
Happy New Year's to you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
What, do you got a bunch of baby chicks in the back?
Nah, I'm back driving in the truck. But my thing is this. He's saying exactly why they're going to win this week. They was on the road 6 consecutive weeks. I got no birds in the truck.
Yes, you do. You absolutely have birds in the truck. Why would you? Why would you say something that's so obviously a lie? You're in a truck full of birds.
I don't have a bird in the truck, though. Why would I have a bird in here?
Exactly our question. Why are you traveling?
What's in the truck?
Why are there birds in the cabin?
It's like when you're driving around the bird habitat at the zoo, you know, when you're...
There's no birds in the truck.
Nothing in my truck.
There were birds in the truck.
Sleep adamant about it.
Giants woke up. No more naps.
Truck full of birds.
Do you remember the start of the show today when we were talking about Gotham Chopra?
Yeah,
it seems like a week ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, it got weird.
Seems a long time ago. Well,
I want to forget about it.
Zoe was really affected by it to the point where he kind of started talking and sounding like it was about him and not Tom Brady.
Is there a certain focus that we should be looking for in life?
That's Scott Zolak, quarterback for the New England Patriots, the greatest quarterback who's ever lived and one of the best athletes in the history of sports.
Zolak steps up, looks, fires down the left sideline, could be picked off, it is, by Deion Sanders at the 25.
But there's something, like, you got to find something. I found it. It was an awakening.
If there was a place where week after week you could tap into that flow, where you could feel completely free, wouldn't you hold on to that for dear life, too?
I love what I was doing when I was a player. It's like that addictive personality. I need that structure. I need every day. I need to be in here 10 to 2 every day. There it is. I found it. Who did that?
T-Bone put
that's
that
pretty good.
That is excellent.
Nice job, Tom.
Where did you pull him saying Scott Zolak?
That would be Dan Patrick. He found Dan Patrick saying Scott Zolak.
Sounds the same. Yeah, he's got that.
That blended perfectly.
It sounds like he's one of the self-focused we should be looking for in life.
That's Scott Zolak, quarterback for the New England Patriots.
Oh, okay, now that you pointed out.
Are you still feeling that way? Are you still in that space?
Nah, 4 hours are gone. I'm tired now.
Okay.
I already got out of here. I felt like your Mavs are all ready to go, chomping at the bit.
They are.
Yeah.
I think you're going to make fun of where that all went by the end of that.
Oh, Jim?
Yeah.
Who we could picture having sex and who we couldn't.
Yeah. Definitely not Jim.
But you could picture
like,
me.
I picture Jim as like a Disney character. He's in the same jeans and shoes every day.
But you could picture me having sex.
Yeah.
And and what did you think?
I'm not getting into
that. I believe you said
like,
pretty.
I think you see Maz? I can picture Maz. Like, Maz is a dirty old man.
Oh, Maz, get after it. But
Jim,
I believe.
When I got to get rubber gloves on.
When I asked you about picturing me having sex, I believe your quote was
pretty
good.
I'm sitting there visionary of me picturing that in my head.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And I said, can you.
Was there a sexual thought about Jim or Jim wanting to have any sexual pleasures?
But you've had sexual thoughts about me or at least picture me having sex and you thought it was pretty good.
Dude, you lived in Vegas, man. You're a DJ from BCN. Rock of Boston.
I don't think 35, 36, 37, 38 was easy either. It's f***ing going to be hard to do.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.